Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Psachim Daf Yud Beis. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief four-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 17 lines from the top. Might be easier to find it by just noticing the midway point of the daf. You'll notice a long question marking to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, the kuf that you see encircled with the vertical descending dashed line, and in that on that line, our Gemara will begin at Tanan with a Tanaic source. Truth be told, as we mentioned at the end of our previous shiur, we left off kind of like in the middle of a discussion, and we had seen Abaye and Rava presenting their opinions of the margin of error a person might make within the Shitas Tanoim of Rebbe Meir and Rebbe Yehuda. Our hope, of course, is that you're not a first-time listener today, but rather you're continuing from having learned yesterday's, the previous daf. So we're not going to elaborate by way of introduction, but go right into the Gemara. Tanan, a Tanaic source that continues within the realm of testimony. It says, Hoyu Bodkin, Oison, B'sheva Hakirois. There were seven questions that were posed to witnesses coming to testify about a matter of a capital nature called Eidus Nefoshos. And for example, to keep things simple, two witnesses come and testify they saw a murder took place. So we will ask those witnesses Beza Shavua, Beza Shana, Beza Chodesh, Bekama B'Chodesh, Beza Yom, Beza Shah, Beza Mokim. Let's go over these things. Beza Shavua, the word Shavua is not to be confused with another common use of the word Shavua. This is a reference to which sabbatical unit did the event took place. A sabbatical unit is a unit of 7 years. Seven times seven, there's seven units, each unit of 7 years, that constitute a Yovel. Yovel is the Jubilee year in which all land is returned to its original owners and slaves are sent free. So we ask the witnesses, in which Shemitah unit did the event take place? Be'ezah Shana, which year? Be'ezah Chodesh, which month? Be'kama Chodesh, what's the date? What day of the month? Be'ezah Yom, what day of the week? Be'ezah Shah, what hour? Be'ezah Mokom, what location? Utnan, ma bein hakiros levedikos. What's the difference between these seven questions and bedikos as a reference to other kinds of questions that we will pose to the Eidei Nefoshos? Bedikos will include things. Do you know who the murderer is? Did you warn him? What was the implement that he used in order to commit the murder, etc.? But there are questions other than time and place. So the Gemara, Braisa asks, or I should say the Mishnah asks, Ma bein chakiros levedikos, halachically speaking, what difference is there? We're not asking about the difference in the nature of the question, but what legal difference is there in these categories of questions between chakiros and bedikos? The Mishnah answers, chakiros, in the case of chakira-related questions, which were the time and place questions, Omar Echo Mehem Eini Yodea, Edusan Batelef, one of the witnesses says that, well, I don't know. Their testimony is voided. Bedikos, in the case of bedikos-type questions, Afilu Shneim Omrim Ein Onu Yoidim, we don't know. Edusan Kayemes, their testimony stands, it lasts. Vehavinon bo, maishno hakirosu, maishno bedikos. And we ask, well, what's the fundamental difference between Hakiros and Bedikos? Why is it that in the case of Hakiros, if some one of them says, I don't know, it's voided, and in the case of Bedikos, which are also important questions, where one of the witnesses says, I don't know, or we don't know, their testimony is not rejected. V'amrinon, and we answer, Hakiros, in the case of Hakiros, Omar echod mehem, eini yode, if one of the witnesses says, I don't know, in those regarding the hour or the date, and any that's anything's time related or place related, if he says, I don't know, a dusan betela, their testimony is voided, the havya law, it turns out it becomes edus shi'a tochel azima. Now, this expression we spent some time during our previous shiur explaining this, so we don't want to spend time re-explaining. I hope, once again, that you learned this in our previous shiur, but it has to do with the need for testimony to be subject, to have the potential of being challenged based on time and place. That's called edus bahazoma. In the event that, let's say, one of the witnesses says, I don't know what day of the week it took place, so you're thereby preventing the possibility of two other witnesses coming and challenging by saying, how could you be with us, how could you have testified regarding an event on that date when you were with us at that date? So it's essential that the first witnesses specified the date. Otherwise, there is no possibility of their testimony being being challenged through this mechanism called hazoma. However, bedikos edus shatochol atayochol hazima hi. In the case of bedikos, if a person, let's say you have witnesses that testify about a murder, and they say it took place at 10 o'clock, January 15th, 1975. They are giving you all the information that's necessary for hazama. They might say, "Well, I don't know if it was a rifle or a revolver that was used, or a sword, or a Swiss Army knife." Even if they say they don't know what the weapon what the nature of the weapon was, they nevertheless, by being accurate in their statement of time and date, they are subjecting themselves to hazama. And as a result, their testimony stands. The Gemara now comes to a climax with regard to the question that we are trying to raise. The E Amris, if we will say as we said in our previous shiur, Toi Inish Kulehai, people will be speaking about an event, mentioning a time, but they may very well be in error. For example, in our previous year, we spoke about a witness saying that the event took place at the third hour of the day, and another witness testifying about an event taking place at the fifth hour of the day, when in fact the witness may have taken place during the fourth hour of the day. And we said in our previous year that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the testimony of those witnesses was within the margin of error. But if you're going to say people, when saying a time, might be off and yet are referring to the same event, the two witnesses are referring to the same event, and simply that what they said as the time could be off a bit, maybe quite a bit, hi chakiros de zeshah nami, the chakira, the question that's time related, but it's a we saw in our list of Hakira questions above, it was question number 6, Be'ezah Shah, that kind of testimony is Nami Edus She'i Ato Yochol Hazimahi. it creates a situation where the witness that says the event took place at the third hour might very well have been testifying about the very event that took place in fact during the fourth hour. And when other witnesses come and challenge, how can you say that the event took place at the third hour when at the third hour of the day you were with us in another location? Does that create edus behazama? No, because the Amri, they can claim mit'i koto'inon. Yeah, we made a mistake. We said third hour, but it could very well have been the fourth hour, and that you, second set of witnesses, are claiming that we were with you at another place at the third hour and therefore could not have testified about this event. No, we could have testified, but when we said third hour, we were making a mistake. We should have pointed out maybe earlier, it's a detail, but when we speak about Edus Bahazoma, the Torah says that when you have witnesses that are Huzam, that their witness, their testimony was challenged by virtue of the fact that they were somewhere else at that time, we impose on those witnesses the very punishment that they were trying to impose on the defendant. However, if, as we said in the Gemara before, that there is something called a margin of error, so then how can you ever have witnesses brought down through Hakiros of Ezo Sha'a, when they can always deflect the challenge by saying, we were off by an hour, by 2 hours? The Gemara answers, Diavinon luhu kuli ta'usayhu. When we speak about Edus Bahazoma regarding Be'ezah Shah, the Edim that are Mazim, the second set of witnesses that challenged the first set of witnesses based on time, they will have to say that you, the first set of witnesses, that you were with us over the period of those hours that constitute the margin of error. And we will try to illustrate that as we go on in the Gemara. Le Rebbe Meir, according to Rebbe Meir, who said that the margin of error could be an hour and a fraction. So according to Rebbe Meir, Yavinon Luhu Mitfilas Sho'o Rishono Ad Sof Chomesh. The witnesses that are Mazim would have to say that you were with us from the beginning of the first hour to the end of the fifth hour. And we will explain that even further when we look in the Rashi. Just to continue the trend of thought here, we read the continue in the Gemara. Ubedinhu, technically speaking, the nasiv lehu meikorot tvei. As far as on the early side of the margin, we should actually give more. Elabain yimoma lelela. However, before the first hour of the day, it was still dark. And as far as the ability to differentiate between night and day, lo to inchi, people would not make a mistake. Ula Rebbe Yehuda, according to Rebbe Yehuda, said the margin of error that people are entitled to is even greater. Yavinon luhu mitchilas shor rishono viad sof shishis. From the beginning of the first hour to the end of the sixth hour, Ubedinu denasiv luhu meikora tfei. Technically speaking, according to Rabbi Huda, we should even extend earlier more. Elo, the Gemara continues at the top of Omid Beis, Elobain Yemomo Lelelio lo to inchi. As we said before, people do not error between day and night. Ubedinu denasiv lekame tfei. And by virtue of the fact that Rabbi Yehuda provides for a greater margin of error. Technically speaking, we should have been able to extend even later than what we did. Elo shebehe chamo b'mizrach ubezayin chamo b'marav. The fifth hour, the sun is still in the east, and at the seventh hour, the sun is in the west, and people would not confuse that. At this point, I would imagine that the Gemara is still a bit vague. We haven't tied in the examples that that the Gemara presented here with Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda to the information we had from our previous sukkah about margins of error being 1 hour or 3 hours, depending on which opinion we are looking at. In order to tie all the ends together, let us look at the Rashi. The Rashi we're looking at is Dibur Masu Mishani, Yavina Luhu Kulu Tesayu. We provide the witnesses with the entire margin of error before we can talk about them becoming huzam. That will be explained. V'imyesh mazimin kan, if edim that are mazim, a second set of witnesses, the challenges, the testimony of the first set by virtue of their inability to have testified because of their being elsewhere at that time. If there are such witness a second set, yecholim lahazim, they can ruin the testimony of the first. Al yidei shaw v'tausa v'lo marlo, by saying to the first set of witnesses, kol hashaw v'tausa o yisa imanu. How could you have testified about that event at the time you said, when you were with us during that time and the entire margin of error as well? The Rebbe Meir, the Omar, according to Rebbe Meir, that said, Odom Toya Shtei Shos, we before spoke about a person making a mistake of 1 hour within Rebbe Meir, but there were several versions of Rebbe Meir, and according to Rava's version of Rebbe Meir, we saw that a person could be Toya Shtei Shos. So according to Rava's version, that a person could be off by 2 hours, Yavina Luhu Lahani Dishtayim Vishalosh, we will then allocate to those witnesses. We have the first set of witnesses that said they saw a murder that took place, and one of the two witnesses said it took place at the second hour, and the other witness said it took place at the third hour. We allocate to them as their combined margin of error, mitchilas shor rishoino ad sof chomesh. That means we assume that when they testified, one about the second hour, the other having said the murder took place at the third hour, they may have been off. The first witness, with his margin of error going from his second hour in both directions, 2 hours earlier, possibly 2 hours later, possibly. The second witness that said third hour, again, 2 hours earlier and 2 hours later, we provide that margin of error to the two witnesses. Lahai Dishtayim, and here Rashi spells it out. Lahai Dishtayim, the witness that said it took place at the second hour. Now the second hour of the day is from 7 a.m. till 8 a.m. Yavinon Lei, and then when he says Shtayim, that means second hour of the day, it's within the realm of possibility that he's 2 hours off. So what do we do? Yavinon le shah rishona ushniya ushlishis uravias. We allocate to him when he says second hour of the day, and he could be off by 2 hours. Well, you see, 2 hours earlier would be the first hour, and also the hour before that, which would be the last hour of the night. The Gemara pointed out that a person, we're not going to allocate to him the possibility of the event having taken place at the last hour of the night, because people don't confuse night time with daytime. However, as far as his testifying that the event took place at the second hour, he might have been referring to the very end of the second hour, namely the beginning of the third hour. So as far as his margin of error is concerned, the third hour and the fourth hour figure in. Ulahai deshalosh, Rashi goes on, and the witness that said the event, the murder, had taken place at the third hour of the day, which essentially is from 8 till 9. Well, third hour could be the very beginning of the 8th. The third hour could be the very beginning of that third hour, namely 8 o'clock. Third hour of the day could be the end of the third hour, meaning 8:59:59. And there's a two-hour margin of error. So Yavino Le, we would give to him, or allocate him, Od Chamishis, not only the fourth hour of the day that we allocated to the first witness, but the fifth hour as well will be allocated to this second witness who testified about event having taken place during third hour. Vesulo, but not more. Dechi Amri Le Lahai Dishtayim. When two witnesses, when Maziman would come and say to the witness of the first set that testified concerning second hour, and they say, Bishniya Imanu Hoyisa, well, at the second hour of the day, you were with us. Yesh Lomar, the witness can say, Toisi Shtei Shos Lachorai. Oh, I was 2 hours delayed. Umaise Hoya Borishona, and the event really took place at the first hour of the day. It's true I was with you at the second hour of the day, but that doesn't mean I'm a liar, because the event really took place at the first hour. V'oid Hoya Lolo Marmaise Hoya Kodem Lorishona Shoachas. He could have technically said the event took place an hour before the first hour, namely the last hour of the night. People wouldn't make such a mistake. When the mazimim say, well, you were with us during the first hour and the second hour of the day, Yeshlo Lomar, that witness, that first witness can still say, Toisi Shteshos Lefonai, I preempted the actual event by 2 hours, or I made early the event by 2 hours, and the event really took place either Shlishis or Revius. V Amri Le, if the Mazim would say, Kol Arba Shos Imonu Hoyisa, if they would say, listen, buddy, how could you testify about an event taking place during the second hour of the day when you were with us during the first through fourth hours? You were with us the whole time, not just a moment, but you were with us all 4 hours. Hare Huzam. That would be a successful way of countering, contradicting, and being mazim his edus. So there still is value in the question of the hakira question of Be'eza Shah. All that necessitates is for the mazimim to say you were with us during that hour plus its entire margin of error. Rashi goes on with the second witness who testified about the third hour of the day. Ulebal shalosh nami yavinon lekamei rishona ushnia ulebasre yavinon revius v'chamishes. We will, according to Abaye, 2 hours before the third hour means the first and second hour. 2 hours after the third hour, namely fourth and fifth hour. Fei mazmi le lekulu chomesh hare huzam. If the mazimim come and say to these two witnesses that you guys were with us during the hours of 6 a.m. till 11 a.m., that's all 5 hours, that would be the way of being mazim them. We turn back to the Gemara. The Gemara we continue with at the top of Amud Beis, after having read the answer of how Hazama still takes place, even though there is a margin of error. We continue with the third line from the top, Tanan. This you'll notice, is a long question. Now that we've introduced the concept of margin of error, people make mistakes. We turn to the side of our Gemara, under the Nosei, the topic heading, where we've written Hashva'a bein Tvach Hatos binyan Edus, Tvach Hatos legabi Zman Isur Chometz Berav Pesach. Let us see how these two sugyas overlap or parallel one another. The margin of error within the realm of testimony and the restrictions of achilas chometz on Erev Pesach, the eating of chometz on Erev Pesach. Bear in mind that the Torah prohibits the consumption of chometz from the beginning of the seventh hour. That means from 12 noon, and only from 12 noon onwards is there a prohibition. And yet we find that the rabbis prohibited the eating of chometz from quite a bit of time earlier than that, out of fear of people making a mistake. So to distance them from the iser, from the prohibition that sets in on, from the Torah standpoint, at 12 noon, we say, listen, stop eating chometz much earlier than that so that you don't come to eat during the Torah time. The Gemara. As we say, we're opening up with a question. This is a long question. The Mishnah that we have learned already says, Rabbi Meir Omer, Oichlin kol chamesh, v'sorfin v'tchilas sheish. Rabbi Meir says that you can eat chometz during the fifth hour and burn the chometz at the beginning of the sixth hour. Again, that is all rabbinic. That means that you're going to start the burning of chometz at the beginning of the sixth hour. It's 11 o'clock. You're allowed to eat chometz throughout the fifth hour, means would be up till 11 o'clock. That's from 10 to 11. That would be your fifth hour. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Oichlin kol Dalid. Rabbi Yehuda is even more restrictive, and he says, we'll allow you to eat during the fourth hour, that's from 9 to 10. The Toilin kol Chomesh, and things are in suspense during the fifth hour, namely no eating but no burning obligation. The Sarfin v'tchilas sheish, and the burning starts at the beginning of the sixth hour. They agree, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda agree that burning starts at the beginning of the sixth hour. All that, in other words, that's what we saw in the Mishnah. La'avaye aliba de Rabbi Meir. This is a reference to that which we saw back on Yud Aleph Omid Beis. According to Abaye's version of Rabbi Meir, Di Omar Ein Odom Toya Velo Klum, that a person does not make a mistake whatsoever. Then when a person, in the case of testimony, when a person states an hour, he means exactly that. And as I said, we saw this back on Yud Aleph Omid Beis. Nechol Kuloshis. Let the person eat during the entire sixth hour. Why just during the fifth hour? Why do we tell him that he has to stop eating at 11 when give him the entire sixth hour, let him eat up till 12? And at that point, a person doesn't make any mistake, so he won't come to violate the Torah prohibition of eating after the sixth hour. Ulahach lishno nami domer odom toya mashu. This is the second lashon of Abaye back on Yud Aleph Amid Beis, which says that a person might err by a negligible amount of time. So nechol ad sof shis. Let him eat up till the end of the sixth hour, which would be 11:59, and not up till 12 literally. But either way, it's much more time. We should be allowing him to eat another full hour. We continue with our questions. The Abaye Aliba de Rabbi Huda, and Abaye's version of Rabbi Huda, the Omar Odom Toya Chatzi Shah, that a person will be off by a half hour. Nechol ad palga deshis. Let Rabbi Meir should have allowed the person to eat until the middle of the sixth hour. In other words, let him eat until 11:30. And yet we see Rabbi Huda allowing him to eat just till 10 in the morning. Ulahach lishno nami di amris odom toya shol mashu. And according to the second loshon of Abaye within Rabbi Yehuda, that says, according to that, a person can be off by an hour and a fraction. Nechol ad sof hey. Let him eat until the end of the fifth hour. And yet Rabbi Meir says that he can eat only till the end of the fourth hour. Let him eat until the end of the fifth hour. That would be, let's say, 10:59. And the fact that a person will be off an hour and a fraction, okay, if you stop him at 10:59, the worst case scenario, so he'll be off by an hour and a fraction, he'll continue eating till 12, but fine, so at 12, that's the worst case, he'll stop at 12, he won't be violating the Torah restriction. So at the end of this long question, we see a challenge to Abaye's presentation of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Huda according to both Lashonos. Omar Abaye. Well, Abaye responds, Edus Mesura Lizrizin. Testimony is given to those who are diligent. Chometz Lakol Mosur. Chometz, the issue of eating, everybody eats, even those people that aren't diligent. So, that being the case, we can't afford to give such leeway in the case of chometz consumption as we as might be alluded to by the leeway that we allow in the case of testimony. If we take a look at the Rashi across from here, Edus Mesura Lizrizim, Ein Odom Bo Lohoed Al HaNefesh, a person isn't going to come to testify about capital cases, Elohim Kain, Boki B'Shoz, unless he's quite expert in hours, Lefi Shiodehu Shesofo Lidoresh B'Drishim HaKira, because he knows that he is going to be subjected to cross-examination concerning the time and place. And therefore, if he's going to speak up, he's going to make sure that he's saying things that are accurate, although there is a margin of error. Avol chometz ala kol mutal v'sheino boki b'shoz toya bohen. Chometz, though, is something that's done by the entire population, even people that are not diligent, and therefore we have to create a greater fence, greater distancing of the people from the Isur Torah, from the Torah prohibition. Let's continue in the Gemara. The Rova Aliba de Rabbi Meir, the Omar Odom Toya Shte Shos Choser Mashu. According to Rova's version of Rabbi Meir, in the realm of testimony, mind you, a person could be off by 2 hours, Choser Mashu, almost 2 hours. Mitchilas Sheish Lo Nechol. Now we dashed on the Mitchilas because Rabbi Meir, in the source, says that you can eat the entire fifth hour. But should we not stop him from the beginning of the fifth hour? So the Gemara answers, hey, the fifth hour, chama b'mizrach, v'zayin chama b'marov. If our whole fear is that of a person coming to violate the Torah level prohibition of chometz, which sets in at noon onwards, the seventh hour, you don't have to worry about that. You don't have to stop him so early because the sun during the fifth hour is still in the east. So you can give him the entire fifth hour to eat chametz. As far as the Torah level prohibition, that's at when the sun is in the west, it veers over to the west. That's after noon The Gemara asks, well, ihachi, if you feel a sense of comfort because of the changing position of the sun in the sky from east to west, so ihachi b'shisna minecho, so then allow a person to eat not only during the fifth hour, but during the sixth hour also. From 11 to 12, the sun is still in the east. Omar Rav Ado Bar Avo. Shis, when you speak about the sixth hour, Yoma Bekarnesokoi, the sun, Yuma is the sun, is overhead. And it's very difficult, therefore, to relate to east and west when the sun is overhead. Therefore, we will not give him the sixth hour for eating chometz. Hirova libud Rabbi Yehuda, the Omar Odom Toya Sholosh Shois Chosir Mashehu. According to Rova's version of Rabbi Yehuda in testimony, where a person could be off by almost 3 hours, the Torah prohibition kicking in at the end of the sixth hour. So, at the end of the sixth hour, you have to factor in what's the margin of error regarding that particular time. So you go back 3 hours, you'll find yourself mitchilas arba lo nechol, from the beginning of the fourth hour, he should not be allowed to eat. Because if you count from the beginning of the fourth hour and factor in an inaccuracy of, or margin of error of practically three hours, so what a person thinks is the fourth hour, it might turn out to be the end of the sixth hour, because you have to consider that the fourth hour is not only the fourth hour, but it's the fifth hour and the sixth hour as well, because a person could be off by practically 3 hours. Should we not stop him from eating chometz at the beginning of the fourth hour? And if we were to do that, so then in the worst case scenario, what he thinks is the beginning of the fourth hour might in fact be the end of the sixth hour. But fine, he would stop at that point, which would again prevent him from violating an Isur Doraisa. But yet, when you look at Shitas Rebbe Yehuda, he allows you to eat during the entire fourth hour. Does that not subject the person to a potential Torah level violation because of his accepted inaccuracy? The Gemara answers, you don't have to worry about a person coming to eat after the Torah prohibition sets in, because hey, chomesh b'mizrof v'sheva chomesh b'marov v'kol shekein dalet, at the fifth hour the sun is still in the eastern part of the sky, and the Torah prohibition kicks in when the sun is in the western part of the sky, then for the seventh hour of the day. And being that that's the case, that the fifth hour the sun is in the east, certainly during the fourth hour, so we can afford to give him the entire fourth hour for eating chometz, not even thinking that it's already after the Isur Torah has set in. The Gemara asks, "Well, ihachi behena minechol, if you're relying on the sun and its relative position, east versus west, and because it's in the east, you feel we can allow the person to eat, being that it's still before the Torah time kicks in, so give him the fifth hour also. Why, according to Rabbi Yehuda, does he eat only the entire fourth hour, and fifth hour is toilin ba?" To answer this, we have a couple of approaches. You'll see Baye and Rava, and on the side of our Gemara, we have Nosei Mivneh heading. The triangle represents Tshuvos LaSheila. We're going to see answers to the question, the Imre Rabbi Yehuda, Boru LaNoshim D'Shor Chamisha Zalahem Boiker, that it's clear to people that during the fifth hour it's still morning, Umuter B'chometz, Loma Hu Sover Ochlem Rak Kol Dalid, V'Tolim Kol Chamish. Why does Rabbi Yehuda say that you can eat only till the end of the fourth hour, and during the fifth hour you have to stop eating? Hoya Lo Lahatir Achilo Kol Chometz. Should he not have allowed eating during the fifth hour as well? So now let's see answers. Tirgumo Abaye Aliba de Rava. Abaye answers on behalf of Rava, even though Abaye was arguing with Rava, he nevertheless suggests an answer on Rava's behalf. Edus Mesura Lizrizim Chomets Lekol Masur. When it comes to testimony, so we know that that's given. People are diligent with regard to the testimonies we explained before in the Rashi. People know they're being subjected to drishas v'chakiros, and they know they can be messed up, and therefore they're careful before they testify. And when they say an hour, it's more or less accurate. True, there's a margin of error, but they're trying to be accurate. Chometz, though, is something that is done by the public, even by people that are not diligent. Therefore, we have to impose a greater margin of time whereby we stop the person from eating the chometz. V'Rava Omar, Rava explains. Appropriately enough, Rava was the one who was just being challenged. Rava Omar, Lav Hainu Taimo de Rabbi Yehuda. The reason of Rabbi Yehuda's hours are not because of people making a mistake. Rabbi Yehuda, who said that we're toilin kol chamesh, is for a different reason. Ela Rabbi Yehuda l'taimei. Now you'll notice that we have a breakdown of Aleph here, and a few lines later a base. There are different also stages in understanding Rabbi Yehuda through the eyes of Rava. So the first stage, Ela Rabbi Yehuda l'taimei. Rabbi Yehuda is consistent with his shita elsewhere, with his opinion elsewhere. The Amar Ein Bi'ur Chometz Ela Sreifa. Rabbi Yehuda holds that the destruction of chometz takes place only through burning. You must burn the chometz. V'yavu le rabbanan sho'achas lukoi bo etzim. And as a result, the rabbanan gave him an hour to seek out wood. In other words, stop eating at the end of the fourth hour, so that you'll have time to concentrate on gathering wood during the fifth hour, and be ready for the burning, which takes place at the beginning of the sixth hour. Esve Ravina l'Rava. Ravina challenges this answer of Rava with the following source. Om Rabbi Yehuda, Amosai. Rabbi Yehuda speaks and says, when is it that I say Ein Biur Chometz Ela Sreifa? That's Shiloh B'Shas Biuro. That's a reference to the beginning of the sixth hour, throughout the sixth hour. That's called Shiloh B'Shas Biuro. Avol B'Shas Biuro. That means at the seventh hour, where one is warned from the Torah not to have chometz, not to benefit from chometz, hashbososoi b'chol dover. The elimination of the chometz is through any means. We have a little star that focuses us to the accurate point in Rashi that we should look at right now. Fourth wide line under the Gemara. Hashbososoi b'chol dover. The method of destroying chometz is through any means. Could be flushing it down, could be throwing it into the ocean. The Torah ze loma. The idea of troubling a person to seek out wood, what do we need that for? Im ein lo eitzim. If you're dealing with a person that doesn't have any wood, in other words, he's reached the fifth hour and he doesn't have any wood. Yamtin ad shas biuro. Let him wait till the Shas Bior. Let him wait till the seventh hour. V'yashbisenu b'chol davar. And flush it down. Throw it in the ocean. Let him get rid of it any other way. Therefore, the explanation that we give him the fifth hour to seek out wood, obviously we're talking about someone that doesn't have any wood. So we're troubling him to spend the fifth hour seeking out wood. So Ravina's question is, why do we put a person under such strain to find the wood? He could just sit back, not do anything by way of seeking out the wood, and destroy it through flushing it down at the beginning of the seventh hour. So there's something lacking in this explanation of why Rabbi Yehuda says toilin kol chamesh, as Rava said earlier. Elo Omar Rava. Therefore, Rava has another pshat as to why Rebbe Yehuda says, Toilin Kol Chomei. She says, Gzeira Mishum Yoim Hamu'unan. We impose this additional restriction and give him only the fourth hour during which to eat because of fear of an occasion of a cloudy day. Well, if you're dealing with a cloudy day, so you don't have the sun shining forth and you can't check out the hours. So we stop you earlier so that you don't make any mistake. Well, the Yochi Afilu Barba shows Nami Lo Nechol, then if that's the case, even during the fourth hour, he shouldn't be eating chometz. It's cloudy. He doesn't have the sun by which to judge the time. Who knows? It might be after the seventh hour already. So why is it that the fourth hour, we still allow a person to eat the chometz? Omar Rav Papa, Dalid Zman Su'uda Lakol Hi. The fourth hour of the day is the time everyone eats their meal. And Rashi says, and as a result of that, everyone is expert. Rashi says, V'akol b'kiyin ba. Everyone is expert. And therefore, there's no fear. People, even if it's cloudy, they'll know that it's still the fourth hour of the day. Tono Rabbanan, having mentioned this idea of Zman Suda, the time for eating a meal, we have a Tanaic source which describes different populations, different people, and the times that they eat. Shal Rishona, Michael Ludim. Ludim are a people that were engaged in criminal activity, and they would eat very early on in the day. They would eat at the first hour of the day. Rashi says, Ludim, Velistim, Rav Sonim Heim, they're ravenous type individuals. Elo Shalistim, Ne'urin Kol Alayli, V'shem Shachris Shal Rishona. The Listim, the bandits, are awake all night. They sleep the first hour of the morning. The Ochlin V'shem, they eat during the second hour. So that's, even though we mentioned that, Rav Papa mentioned that the fourth hour is the time everyone eats, that's the general population. However, the Ludim and the Listim, they eat earlier. So the source goes on, Shnia, the second hour, Michael Listim, Shlishis, Michael Yorshim, the third hour is characteristic of those that are beneficiaries, their heirs, and they're eating at that hour not because of ravenousness, but rather because they didn't need any time to prepare. They have servants to prepare their food, hence everything is ready early. Revius Michael Poyalim, the fourth hour is the time that workers eat, and Chamishis Michael Tamidei Chachamim, the fifth hour is the time that Torah sages would eat, Shishis Michael Kolalim, and the sixth hour is the time that the general population eats. The Gemara asks, Vomar Papa Revius Man Sulu Lokol Hi? But Rav Papa, did he not say that the fourth hour is the time everyone eats, not the sixth hour? Elo Epoch, rather switch things around as follows. Revius Michael Kol Adam, Chamishis Michael Poalim, Shishis Michael Tamidei Chachamim. Mikan V'elech, beyond that hour, and if you're going to start eating beyond that hour, Kizorek Evan Lechemas. It has as much value as throwing a pebble or rock into a flask. In other words, it will be of no nutritional value. Amrabai lo amoron elo delo toimidi b'tzafra. This idea that eating at the after the sixth hour is of no value, that's assuming that he ate nothing. He didn't taste anything in the morning. Avol toimidi b'tzafra, if he tasted something in the morning, less lon ba. Then we don't have any objections to eating a regular meal after the sixth hour. Omar Ravashi kemachlokes beedus tach machlokes bechometz. Like we saw Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda arguing with regard to testimony and margins of error, so too they argue with regard to chometz. The Gemara asks, Pshita hainu hach damrina? That's obvious. That's everything we've said till now. What do I need Rav Ashi for? Before we continue further in the Gemara, let's just take a look at the Rashi, Kemachloikis. We're looking in the wide lines, about the sixth of the wide lines toward the end and under the Gemara. Kemachlokis to Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Be'edus. just like these two Tanoim had a machlokis regarding testimony. Mishum de Rabbi Huda toy inchi tvei. According to Rabbi Huda, people have a greater margin of error. Kach machlokis b'masis enami b'chometz. So too, we have this difference of opinion regarding chometz in our Mishnah. Mishum de Rabbi Huda toy inchi tvei, because people are prone to making an error of greater proportions than according to Rabbi Meir. Ubein the Rabbi Meir, bein the Rabbi Huda, delo mirachi kule teusa, whether it be Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Yehuda, we don't allocate to them their entire margin of error. As we said earlier, be'edus lemor shteishos, lemor shaloshos, mishum. What Rashi goes on to do is to explain that which the Gemara is going to answer, and that is Mishum Shinuyo de Shaninon. Why is it that with regard to Edus, we don't give them the entire margin of error? Because of that which we said earlier. Chometz la kol masur. With regard to chometz, everyone eats food. The lotema. We should not say tanoi he, that these two different versions, in other words, the difference in terms of hours that we allocate to edus is different than the hours that we allocate to chometz. Don't say that these two sources represent a machlokes tanoim, but rather we resolved the seeming discrepancy. Why is it that with regard to Edus we speak about one type of margin of error, and when it comes to Chometz, a different type of margin of error? So this is what Abaye, this is what Rav Ashi was pointing out when he said the similar, or just like there's a machlokis regarding Edus, there's a machlokis regarding Chometz. That seems to be obvious, but Ha Komash Malon Shinuya de Shaninon Shinuyahu. The answers that we gave before regarding the seeming difference between chometz and edus are accurate answers. Velo tema tanoihi, and don't say that the presentation of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda within edus is different than that of the machlokis Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda with regard to chometz by virtue of a machlokis tanoim, meaning later tanoim having different versions. All that, don't say that, but rather the seeming difference in approach to edus versus chometz is a function of edus la kol mosur, and chometz, that is, edus is mosurless reason, and chometz la kol mosur. We continue in the Gemara. Amar Rav Simi Bar Ashi lo shanu elo b'shos. The teaching that we saw in Maseches Sanhedrin regarding the witnesses is a teaching when you see each one testifying about a different hour, avol, and then we were able to say, well, there's a certain margin of error, and they're really talking about the same event. So that is all fine when you're dealing with testimony that cites hours. If one witness says the event took place before the rising of the sun, and the other witness said it took place after the rising of the sun, edusan betela. So that unit of testimony will be void because they're not talking about the same event. One speaking about event having taken place before Neitzacham and the other after. Someone says, Pshita, that's obvious. Elo, rather, what I need Rav Simi Bar Ashi to say is rather as follows. Echot Omer Kodem HaNeitzachamo V'echot Omer B'soch HaNeitzachamo Eidusan B'teilo. If one witness says the event took place, I saw a murder before sunrise, and a second witness says, I saw a murder during sunrise, Rav Simi Bar Ashi is saying that their testimony will be void. So the Gemara says, well, Honami Pshita, it's obvious that they're talking about two different events. There's a difference, there's a clear difference between before the sun rises and during the rising of the sun. So what do I need Rav Simi Bar Ashi, even according to this pshat? The Gemara answers, Ma'u detemo travayu chara milso klamri. He might have thought that these two witnesses, one saying before Netzach HaMa, and the other one saying during Netzach HaMa, really talking about the same event. V'ho de ka'omar, we continue at the top of Yud Gimel Amar Aleph. V'soch ha-Netzach HaMa, he said it took place during the sunrise. Really, he was referring to before the sunrise. But he got the impression that it was during the sunrise. B'giluya havakoi, he was standing in the glow of the sun. V'ziaruri ba'almahu dechaza, and it was merely rays of light that he was seeing and not the actual sun. So this is what I might have thought to say, that the one who said B'socha Netzach HaMa is really the same as the one who said Lifnei Netzach HaMa. And why did he say in the middle of sunrise? It's because of the glow. So all of this is what I might have thought to say. Komash Malon, therefore Rav Simi Bar Ashi dispels that analysis and says that they were to be taken literally, and when he says during sunrise, he meant literally during sunrise, and the other one said before sunrise, it was literally before sunrise, and these two witnesses cannot combine because they in fact are contradictory. Before we conclude today's shiur, let us just remind you that we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.